Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And today on Good to Grow, we're going to be talking a little bit about community gardens. And before the show, we were talking about some history of community gardens that we have been involved in and where they're at now and where we hope to see them in the future. And it seems like the story has a common thread through all of these community gardens, that they're wonderful in concept, in an idea, in vision, but you lose traction at the execution and sustaining them. So on today's show, we're going to talk to you a little bit about the pros and cons of community gardens, maybe what to expect. We're in no way discouraging you from having a community garden. We just would like for you to know maybe the whole story so you're able to kind of pick and choose either activities that you'd like to accomplish, short and long-term goals, and be realistic with those expectations and with people that you try to engage. So I know there's a lot going on in El Paso, and I know, John, that you've worked with several community gardens in El Paso and beyond. And tell us a little bit about one of the biggest misconceptions about having a community garden.
Well, the biggest misconception about community gardens is that they, you know, all these people are going to jump in there and all be happy and together, and you'll get this great garden going. But in reality, it happens, you know, they start out with enthusiasm, and then the summer heat moves in, and gardens are work. You know, they just don't happen by themselves. So you got to maintain them. And a lot of times people lose their enthusiasm. Sometimes you have a certain organizer that's kind of a cheerleader, mm-hmm. really gets you going, and then that mm-hmm. organizer leaves.
Right.
Gets reassigned or, you know, whatever happens, and then the whole thing collapses. And so the important thing is you have to have a buy-in in the community. So the locals that are involved, you know, need to really, you know, see the vision and really are behind this garden. Otherwise, it won't fly. So you really need somebody within the community to say, this is what we want to do. We got a group of people that want to do it, and you know, it gets going. And even then, sometimes that one person that started it, if something happens health-wise or they move or something, then you got to have somebody else to fall in there.
Got to have some otherwise, good cross-training, and I think that's the reality of it all. And like Denise said, we're not discouraging you from doing it, but do be realistic about it. Think about your own garden. You know, you've got to be out in that garden every day. And in that situation, you walk out the back door, and there right. it is. And, you know, it's your own territory and so forth and so on. So those are things that you have to consider, and people need to go out. Even with the Master Gardener Association, with our gardens that we have, they're not specified as community gardens, but they have to be tended to on a regular basis. We're out there a couple of days a week, and even that is trying. So I think having enough people that have that buy-in that you're talking about, John, is so vital. And then are they going to stick with it? Because understanding how much work is involved is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And we want to set you up for success, not for failure. So understanding all of that information is very, very important.
Yeah, one of probably the most successful community garden in El Paso is the one out in Northeast El Paso that's part of the Wellington Chu Senior Center, the Yerby garden. And mm-hmm. I remember meeting Mr. Yerby when I first started in the extension, and he was one of those fire plugs, you know, that really kept things going. And when he got ill and passed on, there's another person that jumped in, mm-hmm. and that has just been a very, very successful garden out there. And they've, you know, had to move from the original site and, you know, thought
found
that
another.
Might break them up, but they're still going out there. And it's quite interesting, the dynamics out there, because you have people being that it's, you know, kind of a military out there. You have a lot of people from different nationalities and countries. Mm-hmm. And so you got different vegetable crops being grown out there. And so it's interesting to see somebody from a foreign country coming in and growing mung beans and different things. Mm-hmm. And these people that have never used mung beans all of a sudden finding out what they are and
on the bandwagon.
Joining the bandwagon. Sure. So exactly. All of a sudden you start to see these pretty traditional plots now become integrated with all the vegetables that are grown all over the world. So it's very interesting. But that is one of the most successful. And I hate to venture, it's probably 40, 50 years that that thing's been going.
And I think
very, very popular.
And the key to that is when we talk about community, you talk about the people that are involved. And that's really what's going to make the garden successful, because we spend a lot of time talking about the nuts and bolts, if you will, of building a garden and soil and plants and everything. But it's really the people that come together to be able to have the garden. And with those leadership roles that you have, you don't necessarily have to all be gardeners. You know, you can have somebody that's really great, you know, at going out and asking for donations and you know, being that salesperson and trying to advocate for the garden. And then you could also have folks that maybe don't want to necessarily garden themselves, but they may be handy in other ways, too. So maybe it's the building of the beds and maintaining those types of things. So exactly. I think it's kind of finding like that good click of people willing to do that. The challenges that I've seen is when things are not just top driven from organizations or city entities. It's the worst thing is when you have a grant and you get a grant and you got to spend the money. We got to do this. We got to, and then this is where they have all these illusions of grandeur that they're going to just build these wonderful gardens that you see on your, you know, phone as you're surfing the web. And that's not the reality.
You see on Victory Garden.
Yeah, exactly.
Not exactly.
Right.
There was one the other day on a, and it was a wonderful story about a community garden in New York, you know, and they were teaching the kids and so forth and so on. But the dedication has got to be there, and the consistency of it all. You know, your footprint has to be out in that garden all the time. And so building a good team of that is very, very important.
There is a social element to community garden.
Oh, it's fun.
So a lot of people like to go out there and just chat among themselves and, you know, talk about politics, whatever, gardening, and they all, you know, kind of get along. So they're all kind of you know, together on the social thing. So
well,
they
that's
like
what
to,
gardeners do.
You know, instead of going to the coffee shop, they go to the garden and, you know, meet and talk to their friends and take care of the garden and stuff.
And I think we share and teach one another all the time. You know, as a master gardener, I remember going to class and thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, I'll never get all of this. And it was very valuable. But it wasn't until I got out in the garden. And that's been, you know, 9 years ago, and I still am constantly learning from not just from seasoned master gardeners, but from the new kids on the block that come along and have good experiences and so forth. And those are the things that sense of community is very, very valuable.
And being in the garden itself, in addition to the social value of that, also gives you an opportunity to casually look and scout for insects. But it also makes your presence known, because we do know a challenge of community gardens can be vandalism and vandals coming in. So you want to make sure that your space itself is protected. You also want to make sure that the neighbors directly surrounding the garden are somehow engaged with that, to be another set of
eyes and ears
out there.
And they're aware of maybe who should not be out there.
Exactly.
And there are different gardens throughout town. There's one on the east side too, over on Viscount, that, you know, I've seen, and it's, you know, it's kind of come and gone. But there again, it depends on your leadership and who's going to be willing to you know, kind of run the show, if you will. And
in a lot of your gardens, you know, you have it's kind of like an HOA. You have to you have some rules and stuff, so that, you know, hopefully you don't have to enforce them too much, but you do need some ground rules.
Your irrigation, whether you're going to compost, how are you going to fertilize, all of those maintenance issues that, you know, it's great, build it and they will come, but are they going to work?
And
you continue.
You do need to commit yourself to at least coming out to the garden twice a week, if not
minimum,
more, because as you said, you got to put your shadow in the garden. And see it and catch those insect infestations before they start. And if your irrigation system quits, you know, if you only go once a week, it'll be dead by the time
you come look
next time.
You don't want to have a withered garden or geysers
shooting
in the
and
sky
a huge
there.
And water bill to go with.
But like you said, if you're keeping people out there, it helps to keep the bad element out of the garden so that you are watching things and they can see it's actively taking place. But if it looks abandoned, it's going to get visited.
Right. Sure. And we have a very, you know, small, modest garden at Escalante Park. It's our teaching and demonstration garden. And it is configured like a community garden, if you will. There's individual raised beds, but we use different materials, whether that's a cinder block or wood, and sometimes even repurposed plastic barrels or even tires as well. But it's really a place for folks to kind of come in and brainstorm and kind of see what elements they like to be able to pull into their own community garden. There's some benefits that we put up there. We try to do our best management practices with drip irrigation and micro sprayers on each bed with a shutoff valve in case something does happen. Really, you know, basic information and basic application mm-hmm. of planting these plants. And we found that the garden itself, they're open twice a week on Mondays and Thursday mornings from 7 to 11 a.m. And master gardeners are out there and they have a you know, an open sign and people stop by, believe it or not, that are doing other business within the county park, and they stop and they visit, and it's very engaging, and people are really happy to be able to walk through the garden and have master gardeners kind of teach and show and, you know, show and tell type mm-hmm. things. So we do try to encourage that. It's a very small garden as far as production wise. It's no more than 900 square feet. But we do get a substantial amount of vegetables out of the garden itself.
And that's an example of one that started from a grant.
Right.
And you know, grants are temporary.
Right.
But we had people that picked the ball up after the grant expired. It's just like in business, I think. You know, you've got to get folks cross-trained. And in case of illness and burnout, that happens as well. So if you're constantly teaching the new kids on the block and pulling them in and having them invest in that space, then they're going to be willing to pick up those leadership roles and keep it going. And that's exactly what's happened at Escarity. It's just a phenomenal place. And
I remember
great pride.
Somebody in the old historic area of Cruces wanted to put in a community garden, and they got a grant from one of the state reps to right. put in this community garden. So we had a neighborhood meeting, and nobody wanted a community garden except this one person.
Except for the one.
So it was like, you know, so they ended up doing a kind of a garden that helped introduce, you know, was an entrance to this historic area. Mm-hmm. So you know, sometimes those are somebody's idea, but it's not everybody's idea.
Right,
exactly. Planning is very important.
Well, before we close off today's show, it's a little bittersweet ending for us as one of our own is off to greener pastures, if you will. And we want to take a moment to thank Laurent Terrazas for being such a jewel for engineering and producing our show for so many months now.
We're going to miss you.
Yeah. That's for sure. Go ahead, desert us. It's okay.
I'll bring you a tissue.
I'll bring you donuts if you'll stay.
She's definitely a great contributor to this show, and she makes us sound all pretty, and she cleans us up really well. So we appreciate your efforts and wish you the best, Lauren.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. We want to thank you for listening to today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.